Today, we will have our CEO, Jürgen Brandes, and our CFO, Steffen Munz, lead you through the presentation. As in previous sessions, Volker Kriegelin has also joined us, of course, and all board members will be available for any questions you may have during the Q&A session. Now, the company presentation supporting this call is also available from the investor relations section of our website in case you're currently not able to follow the webcast. Ladies and gentlemen, today's presentation contains forward-looking statements regarding future developments based on information currently available to the company. As a result of risks and uncertainties, actual outcomes could differ from the forward-looking statements made in this presentation. Schaltbau does not intend to update these forward-looking statements. Furthermore, financial figures provided in this presentation may not add up due to rounding. Finally, please take notice that this webcast will be recorded and that a replay will be made available on our website shortly. Now I hand over to Jürgen. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Kai. It's a real pleasure to see a lot of interest in our company, so welcome all, also from my side. It's just about 8 weeks ago that our new CFO, Steffen Munz, and myself presented as members of the new management team the results for fiscal year 2020. Today, we present the results for the first 3 months, 2021, and an update how we are progressing on our strategy 2023. You will see that quite a bit has happened in this short time period, and more important, indicators are already pointing in the right directions. So let's dive right into our presentation, starting with a short executive summary. If we want to give Q1 an overall headline, it is that we had a good start into fiscal year 2021. And that is despite still challenging market conditions in some areas. The COVID-19 pandemic has every now and then during the last months challenged several supply chains. This has led to some material shortages also in our company. We also needed some extra efforts to ensure an uninterrupted production schedule. The market has also experienced COVID-19 inducted order delays for some major rolling stock projects, particularly in the US and in the UK. But we have also seen high project volumes in the rail sector in Western Europe, in particularly France and Spain, and with quite many large tenders also coming in Germany. And this is important for our strategy going forward. Q1 has also confirmed the growing demand for DC power applications in the new markets, new energy, new industry, and e-mobility. Our priority is clearly on the execution for our strategy 2023, which we presented in March. I'll do a short recap of our four main strategic pillars and goals a bit later today. The results for Q1 show the first result of measures already implemented. We are pleased that the EBIT margin of the rolling stock business at Bode improved by 2.2 percentage points to 3.5%. The after-sales business grew nicely by 24% to 17 million euros. That's important because after sales delivers attractive margins and is therefore an important lever to improve our profitability in the rail sector. We continue to gain momentum in our new markets, particularly in e-mobility and new energy and new industry. As you know, our next factory will be an important enabler to enter into these markets with our DC components and applications. The construction of the new factory is on track as planned. The new factory will start the production in fall 2020, No protected hamsters or bats inside. Everything is running smoothly. Our focus on the financial performance of the group is already showing first results. Our profitability has further improved. The revenue is up 4% to 124 million euros in Q1. Our EBIT increased by 59% and reached 6 million euros. And our group EBIT margin improved by 1.7 percentage points to 4.9%. My colleague Stefan will elaborate further on this later on. We also managed to secure the growth financing necessary to execute our strategy 2023. We had secured a pre-placement agreement for the full volume of our 60 million mandatory convertible bond, but as you might have seen in the last week's corporate news, many shareholders indeed executed their subscription rights. Two-thirds of the bond are now placed with existing shareholders, so we didn't need the agreement to full extent. The bond is fully placed as planned, but the high interest for our existing shareholder is for me and us a great sign of trust in our growth strategy. Thanks to all of you who subscribed to the bond. Thank you very much. All in all, and backed by our first quarter's result, we confirm our guidance for 2021 with an order intake expected between 550 and 580 million euros and a revenue between 520 and 540 million euros. Our group EBIT margin for 2021 is expected to reach roughly 5% of revenue. Let's now have a first closer look to our rail business, our core business, marked red in the presentation on page 4. We had a solid start into 2021 in our rail business. Orders and revenue are in line with normal and expected fluctuations in the project business. Fortunately, we already improved the profitability in our rolling stock business. The execution of our strategy 2023, and in particular our focus on the financial performance, is already showing first results. The EBIT margin at Bode increased by 2.2 percentage points to 3.5% of revenue. This was achieved, for example, with a significantly improved shop floor productivity, by streamlining our overhead costs, and by growing our after-sales business. Our after-sales revenue is up 24% and reached 17 million euros. The main part of our after-sales revenue comes from Bode, and margins in the after-sales business are quite attractive. Therefore, a very effective lever to improve the profitability in this segment. Our pilot project for digital interlocking systems, Zwiesler Spinne at Pinch, is at an early stage and on track as planned. Deutsche Bahn, as well as the respective authorities, approved our project setup. If all goes as planned, the new interlocking system will pass the critical functional test, the so-called HDF Labor, by the end of this year. We have also gained very positive customer feedback for our boarding management unit at Rolling Stock. Our passenger detection systems allow touch-free on- and off-boarding of passengers in combination with our advanced rolling stock entry systems. The market for entry systems is picking up, and we see tenders with high project volumes in the market coming up. Although we expect order delays in the near future because of uncertainties in the context of COVID-19 pandemic. Let's now have a closer look to our DC power business, our so-called blue business for DC components and application on page 5. Overall, we had a strong start for our DC power business into fiscal year 2021, and what you should recognize is that we are definitely gaining momentum in the targeted new markets. The order intake in these new markets, mainly the new energy, new industry, is up 32%. We also see quite good progress in our sales funnel for the e-mobility automotive, with more potential customers in the technical qualification or design freeze phase. Our configurable modular design for contactors enables us to quickly address customer requirements in the new markets. This gives us the flexibility and speed needed to succeed in these markets. Our next factory is on track as planned and pointed out earlier, with the start of the production plan for fall 2022. Stefan will go into the financial details of our four segments later on, but before, I would like to highlight again our four main strategic directions to create sustainable value in our group going forward. We have set specific quantitative targets for the four main pillars of our strategy 2023. For pillar number one, sustainable performance improvement, we target a high single EBIT margin for the whole group by 2026. That also means that our profitability target for rolling stock is an EBIT margin somewhere between 6 to 8%. In addition, we will increase the focus of the business on return on capital employed, ROCE. We target a mid-teen ROCE at the latest by 2026. For pillar number two, profitable growth in our core business, rail infrastructure and rolling stock, we target a compound annual growth rate for our rail revenue of 4 to 6% from 2020 to 2026. This means that we want to grow more than 2 times faster than the overall rail market. The overall rail market is estimated to grow at an annual compound annual growth rate of 2.3% from 2022 to 2025, according to the UNIFE latest rail market report. For pillar number three, growing the after-sales business, we want to reach a compound annual growth rate of 6 to 7% from 2020 to 2026 for our after-sales revenue. This means we target to increase the after-sales revenue from 60 million euro in 2020 to around 100 million euro in 2026 and profit from those attractive margins in this business. For pillar number four, expanding our footprint in high-growth markets like new energy, new industry, and e-mobility, we aim to double our DC power revenue from 160 million euro in 2020 to around 300 million euro in 2026. Please be assured that we will monitor our progress towards these targets very closely and will report the progress on a regular basis. I would like to highlight two areas today where you can see first results of the execution of our strategy. The first one is our rolling stock business, where we target an EBIT margin of 6 to 8% at the latest by 2026. You can see significant improvement we made towards this target on slide 7 of our presentation. We had an EBIT margin of 1.6% at border in fiscal year 2020. In Q1, we already achieved 3.5%. How did we do this? The improvement is based on first quick wins. For example, reduced overhead costs and quickly implemented productivity measures on the shop floor. But everybody knows, a full potential plan is based on much more levers and takes 24 to 36 months. Approximately 31% of the optimization potential is expected to come from material savings. That's improved procurement of direct material. Around 18% will come from the design-to-cost activities, where we incorporate cost aspects very early in our development process, thus being able to optimize costs in a later production process. Around 17% will come from streamlining our overhead costs, around 15% from an increased shop floor productivity. After sales, we talked about this extensively already, will be contributing roughly 12% of this improvement. And around 6% will come from using a lead cost country approach for production processes. We are already expanding, therefore, our facility in Rawice, Poland. Furthermore, we see great potential for additional profits from the increasing after-sales revenue. To summarize, we expect a 6 to 8% EBIT margin for Bode is achievable and realistic at the latest by 2026, and we take the at the latest very serious. The second area I would like to highlight is our DC power business. As pointed out earlier, we are gaining momentum in the targeted new markets. Order intake in the new markets, new energy, new industry was up 32% in Q1 2021 compared to the same period last year. What kind of applications we are talking about when we talk about this market? We have outlined three examples on our slide 8 in our presentation. The first example are test benches. Our contactors are used in test benches for the development or end-of-line checks for electric machines, for batteries, for power electronics or fuel cells. The second example are charging applications. Our contactors are used for high power chargers, which operates from 50 to over 350 kilowatts, thus charging passenger cars, e-buses, e-trucks, and who knows what in the future. Our third example is a very interesting one. We have received first orders for contactors for electric ferries. These ferries use batteries with capacity of approximately 4,000 kilowatt hours, so you can see why they use our contactors to ensure safety and reliability on board. On slide 9, you can see that we also made quite good progress on our sales funnel for e-mobility automotive. It's a long sales cycle from the first initial face-to-face contact until the first initial orders, but it's worth it. E-mobility is a mega trend, and we expect the automotive sector to grow dynamically. We have more and more customers in a technical qualification, joint design project, or design freeze phase. I know exactly that you will ask the question, as to when we will expect the first orders coming in. So I better manage your expectations here. It's still a new market, so we can't make a prediction based on experience. So when we talk about expecting orders soon, it's based on the fact that we made considerably progress on our sales funnel, but it's not defining an exact timeline. Revenue from e-mobility automotive are therefore definitely not included in our revenue planning for fiscal year 2021, and we will also be very cautious for 2022. And to close my part of the presentation, you can see a picture of the site in Velden for our next factory, which has been taken in March 2021. You see the snow. There was still snow on the surrounding fields, but if you take a closer look, you see busy ground workers on the site preparing everything for the next steps of the construction process. Groundwork is almost now completed. Everything is on track as planned. We will show you the progress in the construction progress in our quarterly updates. As said, we expect the start of production in Velden for fall 2022. I now hand over to my colleague Stefan to lead you through our financials. Stefan?
Thank you, Jürgen, and good morning to everyone on the call. I will review our financial results for Q1 2021, first on the group level. Then I will walk you through the segment results for the first 3 months of 2021. Finally, I will give you an update on our guidance for fiscal year 2021, which we are confirming today. Let me start with a short summary of the financial highlights of the first quarter on slide 11. Overall, we got off to a good start into fiscal year 2021, continuing our profitable growth path, which improved with improved profitability. And that is despite still challenging market conditions in some parts of our business. Revenue is up 4%, EBIT increased by 59% to 6.1 million. As a result, the EBIT margin expanded by 1.7 percentage points to 4.9% of revenue. We are very pleased with the improvements of the profitability, confirming our main strategic focus to improve the financial performance of the company. We recorded a healthy book-to-bill ratio of 1.1 in Q1. All business segments achieved a book-to-bill ratio of more than 1, except the rolling stock business at Bode due to normal fluctuations in the project business. While we are pleased with the improved profitability, we are not satisfied with the net working capital development as per end of March 2021. However, the net working capital is temporarily on a higher level due to some COVID-19 related project delays along with tight supply markets. We expect the net working capital to normalize throughout the year. On the segment level, we are pleased with a significantly improved profitability at Bode. Bode delivered an EBIT margin of 3.5%, a margin expansion of 2.2 percentage points compared to the same period last year. The disciplined execution of our full potential plan is already showing the first results. We are also pleased with the development of our components business at Schaltbau GmbH. We are gaining momentum in the targeted new markets, particularly in new energy and new industry. We also secured the growth financing to execute our strategy 2023. We have fully placed the mandatory convertible bond in the amount of 60 million as planned. During the subscription period, existing shareholders exercised subscription rights for a total of approximately 40,000 bonds with a denomination of 1,000 euro per bond, which represents 2/3 of the total rights to be subscribed. The remaining roughly 20,000 bonds were issued to various core investors in accordance with the allocation mechanism defined in the pre-placement agreement. The full placement confirms the confidence of our existing shareholders in our strategy 2023. We greatly appreciate the trust our shareholders have placed in us. Thank you. Finally, backed by a good start in Q1, in combination with a healthy backlog to ship, we confirm our guidance for fiscal year 2021. We continue to expect an order intake in the range between 550 to 580 million, revenue in the corridor of between 520 and 540 million, and an EBIT margin of around roughly 5% of revenue. If you turn to slide 12, I will review selected key performance indicators for Q1 in more detail. Order intake was 136.5 million, down 4.7% year-over-year. The slight order decrease was largely due to the rolling stock business at Bode. The order intake at Bode reflects the normal fluctuation in the project business. As you might recall, the order intake in Q1 last year was unusually strong. On the positive side, we are gaining momentum in the targeted new markets. The order intake in these new markets, in particular in new energy and new industry, is up 32% year-over-year. This goes along with a continued strong order momentum of the e-mobility or fast-charging business as SBRS, with order intake up 76% year-over-year. Group revenue came in at 124.2 million, up 3.8% year-over-year. The revenue growth was primarily due to a continued high growth momentum of our e-mobility or fast charging business, in combination with a recovery of our core components business at GmbH, primarily led by our business in China. Group EBIT came in at 6.1 million, up 59%. The increase in EBIT was mainly attributable to a higher sales volume, a favorable business mix, mainly driven by the overproportional revenue growth of our most profitable components business, as well as the significantly improved profitability at Bode. All segments contributed positively to this nice EBIT increase, except Pinch, which recorded some one-time effect in Q1 last year. As a result, the EBIT margin expanded by 1.7 percentage points, from 3.2 to 4.9% of revenue. Turning to slides 13, I will explain other selected key performance indicators. Overall, the COVID-19 situation continues to impact our business, affecting our supply chain, but also leads to some project delays. As a result, the net working capital is temporarily spiked. However, we expect the situation to normalize throughout the year. That being said, our net working capital increased by 12% from 127 million to 142 million as per end of March. The increase is mainly due to higher inventories and accounts receivables, along with lower accounts payables, partly offset by a slight increase in customer prepayments. As a percent of last 12-month revenue, net working capital increased by 2.7 percentage points to 28%. As already outlined on the last earnings call, we will focus our business, besides profitability, on the return on capital employed, ROCE. ROCE was at 8.4% as per end of March, an improvement of 0.4 percentage points compared to end of December. The improvement is primarily due to the increased EBIT for the last 12 months on essentially constant level of capital employed. Free cash flow amounts to minus 10.7 million compared to negative 4.9 million in the same period of prior year. The negative free cash flow and the deviation from previous year is mainly due to the increased net working capital, which is temporarily spiked due to some COVID-19 project delays, along with tight supply markets. If you move to slide 15, I will go into the segment level. Starting with the Pinch segment. Overall, Pinch had a solid start into fiscal year 2021, in line with the historical seasonality of the business. A strong good order intake will support the growth in the next coming quarters. Order intake increased significantly by 29% to 25 million, mainly due to continued strong orders for level crossing components and axle counting systems. The book-to-bill ratio was at a very high level of 1.6 as per end of March. Revenue in Q1 was in line with the historical seasonality of the business. Revenue was solid at 16 million, down 3.2 million or minus 16%. As you might recall, revenue in Q1 last year was positively impacted by the one-off revenue from the terminated PSD project in Brazil. EBIT decreased by 0.5 million to 0.2 million, resulting in an EBIT margin of 0.9%. The EBIT in Q1 last year was positively impacted by the one-off revenue from the terminated PSD project in Brazil as well. Please keep in mind that Q1 is historically the weakest quarter in terms of revenue and EBIT due to the back-end loaded nature of the business. we expect revenue and EBIT to improve sequentially quarter over quarter. Moving next to the rolling stock business on slide 16. Overall, we are very pleased with a significantly improved profitability at Bode, which already shows the first results of executing our full potential plan. Order intake was at 57 million, down 22% compared to previous year. The order intake reflects the normal fluctuation of the project business. The order decline was primarily due to a strong Q1 in the rail business and the phase-out of a major bus customer in 2021. In addition, some projects are being pushed out into the next coming quarters. Overall, the book-to-bill ratio remained at a solid level of nearly 1 in the first quarter 2021. Bode delivered solid revenue of 61 million, down 2.5%. The slightly lower revenue was mainly due to the softer revenue in the automotive business. Bode delivered an EBIT of 2.2 million in Q1, up 160% compared to the previous year. As a result, the EBIT margin improved significantly by 2.2 percentage points from 1.3 to 3.5% of revenue. The significantly improved EBIT margin was primarily due to the improved shop floor productivity, the streamlined overheads, and the very profitable growth of the after-sales business. We are very pleased with the significantly improved profitability, which already shows the first results of executing our strategy 2023. Moving next to the components business at Schaltbau GmbH on slide 17. Overall, the components business is gaining momentum in the targeted new markets while further improving the already strong EBIT margin. Orders were at 42 million, an increase of 2% compared to the same period last year. We recorded a strong intake from the new markets while the rail business has not yet fully recovered. We are gaining momentum in the targeted new markets, particularly in new energy and new industry, with orders up 32%. In contrast, the rail business has not yet fully recovered due to supply-related production backlogs of the rail car OEMs. The COVID-19 pandemic led to interrupted supply chains in many cases, and thus delayed production processes. The book-to-bill ratio remained at a solid level of 1.2 as per end of March. Revenue was at 36 million, up 7% year-over-year. The increase in revenue is mainly due to the recovery of our business in China, whereas Western markets in the rail business have not yet fully recovered. EBIT came in at 5.7 million, up 14% compared to previous year's level. The increase is mainly driven by the operating leverage on higher sales volume and lower material costs. The EBIT margin was at 15.8% of revenue, a margin improvement of 1 percentage point. I will conclude the review of the segments with our e-mobility and refurbishment business on slide 18. Overall, SPRS is continuing its dynamic growth momentum, primarily driven by the fast charging solutions in the e-mobility business. The business recorded another very strong quarter in order intake. Orders were up 25% compared to Q1. We're benefiting from a continued strong momentum in the e-mobility business. Revenue was at 11 million, up 180%. Also here, the main driver is the e-mobility business. SPRS delivered an EBIT of 0.4 million, up 220% compared to previous year. As a result, the EBIT margin was at 3.6% of revenue, an improvement of 0.4 percentage points. I will close my presentation with an update on our guidance for fiscal year 2021. Backed by a good start into Q1 and a healthy backlog to ship, we reaffirm our guidance for fiscal year 2021. We continue to expect the order intake to be in the range between 550 and 580 million. Group revenue is expected to total between 520 and 540 million. We continue to expect an EBIT margin of around 5% of revenue for fiscal year 2021, a margin expansion of another roughly 100 basis points compared to previous year. I will now hand it back over to Jürgen, who will wrap up the prepared part with the key takeaways.
Thank you, Stefan. So, what are the key takeaways for today's call? First, we had a good start into the fiscal year 2021, and we continue our profitable growth path with a further improved profitability. One of our two single biggest projects, Zwieseler Spinne and our next factory, are on track as planned. Number two, we define clear quantitative targets and respective levers for our strategy 2023. We already see the first promising result of the execution of executing our strategy 2023. Number three, our focus on the financial performance of the group is already starting to pay off. Our profitability has further improved. That's in particular obvious for our rolling stock business at Bode segment, where we improved the EBIT margin by 2.2 percentage points compared to the same period last year. Number four, we are growing the rail after-sales business. Our after-sales revenue is up 24% and delivers very attractive margins. Number five, we are gaining momentum in the targeted new markets, which grow dynamically with the orders up 32% in new energy, new industry. And last but not least, based on our Q1 results and progress in executing our strategy 2023, we confirm our guidance for fiscal year 2021. And now we are happy to answer any questions you might have.
With this, I hand over to the operator to manage the Q&A process. Please note that we would like to limit the number of questions to three per person in order to give everyone the chance to ask their questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from Alexander Hauenstein, DZ Bank. Your question, please.
Yes, hello, Alex Hauenstein, DZ Bank. Thanks for taking my questions. I rather suggest to take them one by one. The first question would be about the project delays at Bode and also at Pinch. I'm wondering whether you could give us some insight about the nature of them. Are these kind of shifted projects into the second quarter, or are they shifted further at the end of the year or maybe even beyond? And is there any profitability impact of that? That would be the first one.
Hey, good morning, Alex.
Okay, Volker speaking. Hello, good morning. For Pinch, there are no shifts of projects, actually. This is the normal market, and the projects are under preparation in Deutsche Bahn, and they will always come up in the end of the year. We see that there are a lot of planning activities are ongoing, so we are very confident, and we see it already. So we see no problem at all in this way for Pinch. For Bode, even the rail market, the rolling stock market is growing. We have some particular delays. One special one is the Amtrak in the U.S. It comes from the election. It was planned to award this project, and then it was shifted to this year. But we see also here that the project is coming now to an end, so that the main suppliers will be Siemens. And we are in contract with Siemens to receive the orders. So also this project had only a delay of 3-4 months now, but the projects are coming.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. And looking at the material cost development over the course of the year and the issues here on the material side in general, I mean, first of all, are you expecting, like some of the other names in the cap goods sector, are you also expecting the material cost to impact your profitability, especially at Schadbau GmbH, quite materially, in a way that potentially we might see an EBIT of the second half being rather below an EBIT of the first half? And regarding the shortages in the materials, can you name them a bit and maybe give us an idea how you work around it? Thanks.
Yeah. So I will start off with the question on the material cost side. I think basically, yes, it's at the moment impacting the most the components business. However, it's more from an availability of the material perspective. So it's more tight supply markets that we're managing around at the moment. And at the moment, we're not seeing any indication from a material cost side that likely will impact our profitability. There is no indication at the moment. However, we are working around to use some shortages. And it's mainly the typical semiconductors, the electronic materials, and also as we use a lot of contact materials, that is also, for example, impacting our supply chain. So far, I think we managed all the shortages quite well here. So this is a challenge for our business almost every day. It's a big management focus at the moment. So far, so good, but I think there is still risk on the horizon.
Okay, understood. So it's not that much on profitability point from generally rising costs, I understand. Okay, last question here with regard to the guidance. You mentioned a couple of comments on the segment basis overall. For example, you made a comment about Pinch. There might be an improvement sequentially quarter on quarter to the upside. I'm wondering whether this is also, let's say, valid for the group. Are you kind of expecting a linear improvement for the group overall? And if we would rather speak of a case that you might potentially review your guidance later in the course of the year, would you rather, given what you know today, more likely extend the top line range here or rather provide a wider range on the margin side? Thank you.
All good questions here. So let me try to answer the questions here. So yes, I think basically we expect overall a stronger second half compared to the first half. And in particular, we expect currently Q4 to be the strongest quarter of the year. And that is mainly due to the Pinch business that is clearly located. And I think this will come true. This, however, is also reflected at the moment in our guidance for the year. So we're not having a guidance for on a quarterly basis, but for the full year. So that's all included. So if everything comes together as planned, there is for sure more upside potential than downside risk. However, there are still every day still challenges around COVID-19, and the material shortage situation is really confronting us. And, you know, that's too far away to talk about year end. That's all what we wanted to tell today about the guidance.
Okay, I gave it a try anyway. Thanks for the clarifications and all the best.
Thanks, Alex.
Next question is from the line of Florian Pfeilschifter with Stifel Europe Bank. Your question, please.
Hi. Morning, everyone. Also, three questions from my side. The first one would be on the aftermarket business. And can you provide us here a bit more details on the growth per segment? So both did exceptionally well, up to 29%, and the average is 24%. So how does this look in other segments? And maybe can you elaborate a little bit on what the reasons are for the different development across the segments?
Yeah, Jürgen Brandes speaking. For us, after sales is very important, particularly in the rail business, and here we count aftermarket in rolling stock, which is counting for, let me say, the bulk of the after sales business we are in, but also modernization is important in Dienstlagen, both for Pinch as well as for SBRS. So I would say two-thirds coming from the rolling stock business, one-third comes out of Dienstlagen, SBRS, as well as Pinch.
Okay, so there's low potential in DC components, if I understand it correctly.
We see this component business. Of course, it's also going into installed base. But as you do not can mark whether the components are going in the aftermarket or in new installation, it's a component. We are not building up a reporting structure for component business, which is usual practice also in other companies.
No, that definitely makes sense. Great. Then also on slide 7, you outlined the improvements you intend to do in the border segment on a profitability side. On the right-hand chart, so on the pie chart, how much of that did you already achieve here? And so could you also provide a split between what you intend to do going to the 6-8% between operational leverage on the one hand side and then these optimizations you listed in the part chart, and maybe also here whether you can give a similar split for the entire group?
Hey, Florian, this is Stefan. Couple answers here. So starting with, overall we have defined a full potential plan that we're rigorously executing. So, and the full potential plan is a plan that goes from 2021 until 2023, and this is the majority of the actions that we have in our plan. So, and the plan is a balanced plan of quick wins or short-term actions, but also actions that we are now kind of starting to implement, but which will come into effect 2022 and 2023. This is the structure of the overall program. So, and this is also the main driver for the profitability improvement. So in Q1, as mentioned, you have seen mainly the quick win results coming from one, the shop floor productivity, number two, from the streamlined overhead, and number three, from the increased after sales. On slide 7, the last three levers that we have outlined. So what will come into effect, and we expect 2/3 of the way to the 6-8% EBIT margin target by 2023, and the major drivers will be the direct material cost side and also the design to cost lever in combination with moving more and more operations and sourcing into low-cost countries. So this is the structure of the program, what already materialized in Q1 and what we expect going forward. Hope that answers all your questions.
The last one would still be open, whether you can give a similar split for the group, whether this applies in general, not only to Bode.
So, as you know, Bode is the biggest portion of our business with more than 50% of the revenue. So the margin improvement of the group is largely tied to the margin improvement of Bode, but not only. So also we're working on all the segments to grow profitably, but for sure, this is 80% driving all the margin of the overall group.
Okay, great. And then my last question on the similar topic, so the 6-8% margin in Bode. What, in your view, are the levers for the lower and upper end of the 6-8% margin?
You mean what are risk factors and what could be the upside potential, right?
I mean, that as well, but also what would get more towards the 6% rather than the 8% and vice versa?
I think primarily we know what to do, and it's not a question of how to do it. I think it's primarily a question of the timing that we're getting all effects as we want to achieve. You know, for example, if you move production from Germany to Poland and to Turkey, you know, there is timing, there is some customer approvals. And potentially, you know, also when you move productions into low-cost countries, customers are asking for a price give back. So that could be more towards the lower end. That's already reflected in the range that we're providing. So I think if everything goes perfectly, then likely we're more at the upper end with some upside potential. But not much, I would call it at the moment, some upside potential.
Okay, great. Perfect. Then thanks a lot for all the answers and enjoy the day.
Yeah, thanks, Florian.
Next question is from the line of Christian Kross with Warburg Research. Your question, please.
Yes, hello. Good morning from my side, and thank you for the insightful presentation. Just one or two questions related to the cash flow performance left for me. I go through them one by one. First of all, you mentioned the net working capital, that the temporary spike, and that you expect an improvement in the quarters to come. So is it fair to assume, based on your guidance of higher operating earnings, that the operating cash flow for Schaltbau in 2021 will exceed the level of 2020?
Yes, so it looks like that the operating cash flow by the end of the year for the full year will exceed the previous year level. At the moment, it looks like almost two times, and there is one driver I need to outline that you understand it. This is we expect to receive the remainder of the prepayment from the digital interlocking system by the end of the year, if the project goes according to the plan. So this is a bucket of double-digit euro million amount, and this is the main driver for the kind of why we will be higher at the year end compared to previous year.
Okay, understood. And then looking at just beyond the first quarter on your working capital in general, it is very high. So can you name actually the problem child within the group of portfolio the portfolio of your operating segments? What is the problem child? What is the problem? And do you see scope also in the midterm to lower the working capital and to release cash in order to support your ROCE targets? Or is the envisaged improvement in ROCE solely linked to higher EBIT margins?
Yes, so net working capital is a key focus area, and we will continue to focus on that net working capital as well as we're focusing on the EBIT margin, because at the end the focus will become on ROCE. Q1 was temporarily spiked, and primarily due to one, some project delays that are largely COVID-19 related, and due to number two, tight supply markets. So if we link that to the business segments, so the project delays were mainly in our SBRS business, which is a project business. And the second one, the tight supply markets are primarily linked to our components business. So here are the two, linkages to our segments. Long story short, we expect the project delays to normalize throughout the year, and we expect that we will improve the net working capital by around 15 million by the end of the year. Again, if everything comes as we expect, it will come throughout the remainder of the year. And also to your question, for sure, we are in the nature of the business is primarily a business where you likely will not have a significant level of net working capital. So the rail business or a core business, which has normally low volumes, high variance, and long life cycles that you have to kind of replenish. So that means naturally that's a structural thing that you have to keep in mind. But we think we can come in a range of between 20 to 25% over the midterm when it comes to net working capital, and there are no special effects.
That's clear. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Miro Susek, JMS Invest. Your question, please.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey,
thank
morning,
you for taking my question. May I come back to a question for Pinch? Because the 25 million order intake was strong compared to the quarter of the last year. And you had this big order last year, like the 40 million in Q4. So the underlying order intake in Q3 and Q4 last year was, let's say, relatively low. Was there any element of catch-up in Q1 now, and to expect the order intake to normalize a little bit going forward, or do you get the signals from Deutsche Bahn that that basically this is the new flight level, let's say the 25 million?
What we see, what I mentioned already, is that we see a lot of planning activities in this year, so we will get bigger orders about the level crossings, which are very profitable, which is very good for us. And so we have also the projects with the exit counters growing. So the order intake will be good this year without any special effects. Yeah. So I'm not concerned at all.
You know, and also, to again, I think Pinch will be a business that is really growing very nicely, that is already our, from a growth perspective, our kind of generating the highest returns, And we're clearly on a very profitable growth path with clear double-digit growth rates at also double-digit EBIT margins. So, and this is already coming what you see on the pipeline when it comes to order intake. So this is also confirming that our strategy is bearing the first fruits here.
Okay, thank you. In Bode, you mentioned that the previous quarter was strong with the 72.8. I have 85.4 in 2019 for this quarter. So it seems to me like that this is now a two-year, it's going down for 2 years now. Do you think this is now the low point in a sense that going forward the order intake is going to get better also on a quarter-on-quarter perspective?
It's always a problem that this is very related to projects, and these are big projects. And when there are some delays, as we mentioned, for example, for Amtrak in the U.S., you can see it exactly in the quarter. Yeah. Last year, we had a forecast that the order will be awarded end of the year, by beginning of the year, and now it's awarded to Siemens. Yeah. So we have a delay of 4 or 5 months. And this, of course, you can see exactly in the quarter. But in principle, we can see that there is a still ongoing business and the growth at Bode for the order intake. Since we see in the market a good business and a lot of awards, when you see that Alstom, for example, received a hell of orders, they are fully booked, and we are discussions now with Alstom to also receive orders from Alstom. But first, the OEMs have to receive the orders, and then we are in the second phase. So any delay of these big orders, and this is standard, leads to a delay of us. But in principle, we will have a very good, in total, of the total year, we will see a good order intake of Bode. I'm not concerned at all.
Yeah, we still expect, still a double-digit increase in order intake for the year. That's just telling you.
Wait, when you look only in Germany, for example, which big orders are in preparation, yeah? When you look to Baden-Württemberg, to S-Bahn, München, we have Cologne, we have Hamburg. Even in Germany, there's such a big growing market and projects, but no one can say exactly on which day or in which month these contracts will be awarded. So in principle, we have always a shift of 1, 2, 3 months sometimes. But in principle, in total of over the year, we will have a good order intake and still growing history.
Okay. In the blue business, which I believe is roughly 160 million of your business, or it was 160 million of your business in 2020, and which is your earnings growth driver, let's say, in the longer context. This business, how much did you, or were you able to increase the order intake? Because the 32 million, if I understand correctly, that's just for the new energy and industry sub-segment, so to speak, but overall in the blue DC components business, were you able to grow orders, and if yes, by how much? And sorry, and then also a second question, when do you believe the big first orders will come out of your promising pipeline?
So overall, I think part of the blue story is the components business in combination with the e-mobility business of SBRS. And as we outlined, the e-mobility business at SBRS grew more than 100%. And this is the one driver. And the second driver, the sub-market, new energy, new industry, also grew by 32% year over year. So this is clearly linked to the blue side, where we see the market not yet fully recovered is in on the components sides of the rail business. So here, overall, we have a clear double-digit growth rate, primarily driven by those end markets, but a little bit kind of pushed back by the components, the legacy business, which is not yet fully recovered.
Okay, and automotive will come later, right? E-mobility, this is not yet a significant part of your order intake.
Exactly. Automotive, you know, there the measure is the funnel, how we're progressing on the funnel, and here we do not expect any significant revenue from e-mobility automotive, primarily passenger cars, before 2023.
Okay. And maybe one last question, if I may. In SBRS, the margin was somehow disappointing, you know, because You had a very strong top line, double digit, 11 million. You were able to run on a clear double digit margin in the last year with lower revenues. Now we have higher revenues, but quite a disappointing margin. How, maybe can you comment on this and how quickly it will, or what's your expectation for the full year basically there?
Yeah, I'll start with the full year. So we expect the EBIT margin for the full year at around 8%, so more or less on the same level compared to previous year. This also is in line with our target that we want to grow profitable with the business. So we want to grow the EBIT in line with the revenue. And Q1 was hit by what we call a one-timer, an accounting effect. But this is not a recurring effect, and therefore we are confident that we will receive that 7 to 8% EBIT margin on the same year's level by the end of the year.
Which is a decrease versus the 9.1% you had last year.
Yeah, it's more or less on the same level, I think 8 to 9%. So we expect the margin to be more or less on the same level. However, this effect in Q1 for sure will also impact the full year.
Okay. Cool, thank you.
Thank you, Miro.
The next question is from the line of Lukas Spang. Your question, please.
Yes, hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey,
two questions from my side. I would take them one by one. The first question is on your order intake. You mentioned you don't give any guidance on quarterly base, but to reach your guidance for the full year, what is your expectation for the coming quarters to reach your target on the order intake side?
Generally, we expect here, I think that has been elaborated due to some COVID-19 related short-term project delays. We expect currently a stronger second half than the first half. So we expect currently the orders that we expected to receive in Q1 now being placed in Q3-ish. So this is at the moment the expectation. And this also then, as you know, we confirmed the order, got the guidance for the order intake as well. This then is our expectation as of now.
Okay. And then on the U.S. business, the business in general is still very small with around 6% of group revenues. But if I take the news from early April, the Biden administration, for example, announced to invest $80 billion over the next years, and this sounds to be a promising opportunity in general. Do you see any effect on your business, and how would you prepare or take actions for driving additional revenues from overseas for you?
Here's Jon Brandes speaking. First of all, you have heard Volker talking about the Amtrak project, which had a delay due to this political change in the U.S. and the award procedures. Now we have clear commitments by the president, but you know the delays in U.S. government usual when it comes to down to execution. What we definitely are doing currently, we are building up our competencies in our sales force for the segments new energy, new industry. We are seeing that DC technology in the U.S. is quite important. So from that standpoint, we definitely have a focus on the U.S. On the rolling stock, or on it is a focus on particular project, as we have also a factory for assembly of Bode for the interlocking system, for the trackside equipment. The norms and standards in the U.S. are totally different than to Europe, and so there is no concept in plan to expand the pinch business into this region.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Johan van den Hoven with Edison Group. Your question, please.
Yeah, good morning. It's Johan van der Hoven from Anderson Group. Three questions for me, please, one by one. Is that fine?
Sure.
The first one is net working capital, just to double check if I understood it correctly, in one of your answers, Stefan, you mentioned 20 to 25% net working capital as a percentage of revenue. With the minus 15 million, I think you can arrive again at a normalized level of 25% in 2021 with further improvements afterwards. That's correct, roughly.
So yeah, first of all, we expect if the project delays are being resolved and also there is also the tight supply markets are not further limiting our supply situation, then we expect to reduce the net working capital by around 15 million by the end of the year. So this will bring our net working capital down from at the moment 142 million to approximately 125-ish million. And over the midterm, we clearly expect and will further improve the net working capital to a range of between 20 to 25%. So I'll leave it at a broad range at the moment, as the situation is still kind of a little bit uncertain due to COVID-19.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Second question is about one of items on the EBIT level. You already mentioned an accounting thing within SBRS. I guess it might be, if you want to provide a number of calls, 0.3-0.4 million. And in Pinch last year, if I remember correctly, the one-off, the positive one-off was around 0.9 million. Is that correct?
So just to make sure I'm getting your question here. So the first one was on the one-timers in Q1, and the second one was related to our comments on Q1 2020 for the Pinch business, right?
And a negative one of SBRS this quarter, and it was a positive one for Pinch Q1 2020.
Yeah, exactly. So in Q1, there's basically overall one big item that negatively hit our SBRS business. That was a write-off in connection to one of our projects. So in amount of, more or less around 700-800 million, this was the number here. This is also confirming then, because it's a one-timer, that we're back on track and also will hit the 8% EBIT margin for the year. Last year in Q1 2020, there was a positive one-timer at our Pinch business due to the termination of the PSD project in Brazil. And also there, that hits positively our revenue line and also positively our EBIT line. In the range, the EBIT effect was approximately 500 to 1,000 K, so half a million to a million.
Okay, thank you very much. Last question is, we already talked about the strong growth in after sales, and there was already a question, and it's clear that two-thirds is coming from rolling stock. But more the question now, what is the driver behind the growth, and are you seeing an acceleration in growth, or is it a continuation of strong growth? And what is helping the higher growth, or what have you actually done to push the growth higher?
Yeah, here's Jürgen Brandl speaking. First of all, we have established a specific workshop in Kassel, which is our main factory of Bode, and equipped this with specific investments, but also we changed totally the way of handling the service, turnaround for spare parts. We are designing spare part kits. We are supporting repair centers of the operators in order to do the maintenance job with the strong support of our personnel. And so also we have a dedicated focus in this area. So we definitely manage the service business in the meantime totally different than the rest of the business. Focus.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. No more questions.
There are no further questions. I hand back to Dr. Kai Holtmann for closing comments.
Many thanks to everyone for having joined this call. Also, in the name of Jürgen, Stefan, and Volker. In case there are any questions remaining, please do not hesitate to get in touch with us. Bye-bye for now, and talk to you next time.